Christmas Moto Show.
Yeah, a little bit late for the Christmas version. We have actually missed it because we didn't have time to do it beforehand.
Well, it's a little bit in between. It's that dead spot, isn't it?
Yeah, is there a word for it, isn't there?
Dead spot?
Oh. No, no. No, I don't know.
Well, Merry Christmas! If we've forgotten, because yes. we wanted to do one before Christmas, but we were a little bit busy.
No, we're down to the last of the Quality Street. There's a
roses.
Oh, sorry, roses. Yeah, there's a suspicious amount of strawberry creams and the orange creams left. But nice to see some caramels left. I should be stopping those this afternoon with my tea that you finally made.
I did. Make
pretty Gobi
Desert
in here.
As you can probably tell, I'm a bit nasaled up.
You poor thing. Man flu hit you bad.
Yeah. But I'll try and. I'll
so
try and get
hold through. You brave little man, you.
Brave little soldier. Hope you all had a good weekend, a good few days over Christmas, and Santa delivered all your gifts you wanted. What did you get, Joe?
Mainly a coat. some tickets to go to the theatre, which would be nice, very cultured, you know.
Yeah, nice.
Well, not a great deal. Went away for Christmas down to Devon, which was really nice. Good time with the family.
Nice. We were actually saying how excited we get now when you just get pats and socks.
I had some slippers. Actually, I was well chuffed.
Exactly. So
Well chuffed. Some real old man slippers. I was lovely with those. I've been shuffling around some toweling things from the KTM launch, which looked like they'd been made from skinned Kermit, bright green.
If you sprayed them green,
so they've gone straight in the bin. I'm rocking the old fella slippers.
Oh, hang on, we got somebody coming in.
Someone
hang on
the door. Live on air.
Hello.
Live on air. And he's come in. It's the landlord of the building. He doesn't realise we're recording. Happy New Year from
See
the landlord.
Later.
Might need to clip that one out. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we might keep it in. Anyway, so what we're going to talk about this week is the first round of the Supercross this weekend.
First round of Supercross and the first round of Arena Cross. Supercross being a slightly bigger deal globally, it has to be said. And I am so excited for it. It's one of those wide open years. Villopoto is the first man ever to walk away as reigning champion, to walk away and not defend his title when he could have defended his title. Others have missed the opportunity through injury or whatever. Bob Hanna and I think Donnie Hansen both missed a chance to defend their titles, but Villopoto has said he wasn't going to be well enough. Well, actually, the amount of riding he's doing does suggest he might have been well enough. Either way, he's across for GPs, which is great
news
for
fit
us.
Now. He seems
he looks really fast. He's putting in some good training on lots of different tracks, but it means it's wide open for the Supercross, and you really would be hard pushed to put cigarette paper between the people who are there. It's going to be absolutely stunning. I think we're going to have loads of winners, different winner every week. I think we can look out. I can't see a dominant rider in the pack.
No, there's a few posts online. Different RacerX ran their Supercross shows and stuff, previews. A few sort of fans were suggesting they wrong picks, but you never know on the day, and obviously with Villopoto gone,
I'd be hard pushed to say anybody can definitively pick who's going to be there, because it's going to, Roxon has got to be in for a good shout, but he's got to get used to a new bike, a new team, and getting used to it. It's only his second year on 450s in the Supercross. The sleeper for me is, I think we put in the magazine this month, I think Dungey has a really strong chance. He is Mr. Consistent. He may not be grabbing the headlines for being, super exciting. However, that's not necessarily super exciting. Doesn't win the championship. Consistency wins the championships. And Dungey is really well placed to come back. He's on a bike he knows well. It's been tweaked a little bit for this year, but not too much. So he's in a really good place to do it. Then you look at the likes of Millsaps, who keeps coming close, but not quite close enough, getting a couple of second places in 12 and 13. There's Tomac, who's been superb out there in the.
Let's have a look at. We'll talk about this weekend.
Okay.
Your top three for this weekend, and then we'll do top three over the season.
I think it's going to be an unexpected one for the winner, because it usually is.
It is A1.
So I'm going to say Canard to win.
Interesting.
I think nobody's really mentioning Canard, but actually he's a really strong rider, and he's really fast.
I think I'm going to go for Dungey.
Yep.
Yeah. He's been pretty quiet in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Not putting that much out on his social media and stuff.
Well, probably Alden Baker is training him quite so hard. He hasn't got a moment to himself.
Yeah.
He's beasting him to get him ready to go. But and one would be really nice to see. Obviously, you know, again, he's not been mentioned in the mix. Is Dean? We don't know how Dean is going to do it. It would be absolutely fantastic if Dean can come out and actually whoop it. You know, I'd love to be totally wrong on all the predictions, and Dean comes in and does it and continue to do it, and he can. You know, he is fast enough to do it, and
will
to get
nerves
the...
play a part on Dean's part though?
Well, I guess I'm not entirely sure, because there isn't that weight of expectation. He's not been touted in the one. You know, when you look at the list,
does
of
he
who's
does
come
he
in.
Does he put that in his own head?
Well,
to say that he is a top three rider, and then the pressure builds on himself.
Whenever you speak to Dean, he seems quite so laid back about things. He does have that laid back air that Roczen has too. Is that you know, they are really serious about the racing. However, they're not people who are sort of get wrapped up and they're frowning and whatever. So I don't know. I think that side of it is probably good for him. And I'd say not being in the list of the top five or whatever that people are choosing, Dean's not being in there, and that's actually quite good, because it means you can sneak under the radar. In the same way, I'm saying Canard could do that.
But if you look at also Tomac, his speed in, we were talking about this morning. Tomac's speed in Europe was insane.
Yeah.
But can he bring that to a real size circuit? Yes,
and realistically, the competition he had over there was Barcia, and Barcia just didn't seem to be quite up together on it. Barcia's got a new team and a new bike. You know, perhaps he can do it. He
hopefully got over his little injury. Well, big injury.
Well, yeah, with Christoph Pilcher landing on your head is probably a major injury there. I don't know. Tomac looks strong, and I think probably if he was in the outdoor last year, he would have been champion and not Roczen, because he was just so strong. Can he do it? I don't know. But say there is so much talent in that, we could end up with no more than one win for the first 10 rounds.
Could be Millsaps again.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Millsaps was great at the Monster Energy Cup, but say Canard was the one who threw away the million on that one. You know, it's only because he fell off they would have come away with that million.
Yeah,
Millsaps is number one in the Kawasaki rig now, so he's got the best bike and the best support.
Yeah, because people are still saying about Chad. Maybe over for the season. He's not finished yet, but do you think?
I think Chad will be. It'll be hard push. I think that, we were saying
not so much struggling, but we said carry on. You said
I think realistically, you know, he may get a win in the season.
You can't count him out.
He's a really good rider with loads of experience. Yeah. I just think that the backdrop against the people he's competing against and the level of training you need and the fitness, it is so much harder as an older guy to compete against the younger guy. It doesn't mean it can't be done. However, when you've got these guys who are training and almost still. Until they bleed, then you know, coming in as a veteran, you can't necessarily approach quite as hard. So yes, you know, he may come in and do well as he did last year.
But we both said he'll sneak a wing.
Yeah, I think so. Then, you know, there are certain ones he always has favourites. But I can't see him overcoming the hunger that's in those young guys to get there.
That's what my concern is with Dungey over the season now, because Tomac, Roczen, Canard. You know, he's coming into the season fit again, so that's good.
Yep.
He's really, really fast.
Yeah.
And then Millsap's coming back again. But Millsaps is the same, probably similar age to Dungey. But has Dungey got that fire in his belly to still take the championship? Or is he going to be Mr. Consistent?
No, I think he has. I think he's actually a really determined, actually quite a ruthless guy. He just doesn't come across as that kind of thing. He's just quiet about it. But I think he wants it. You know, he wants that title and doesn't like the fact he gets shunted back and doesn't get the limelight. Of course, now he's got the limelight back again in his team with Roczen, and he was always going to be, despite the fact he had more championships to his name. Roczen was the bright young thing. Now Roczen's moved on.
Yeah.
And Wilson has joined him. Well, Wilson clearly is not the bright light in the team as yet. He might prove to be, but Roczen's back to being number one, and that's good because it's really difficult in a team to have two number one riders. There can't be. There's always going to be one that's going to rise to the top and is the favoured one of the two. And I think Dungey's back to being there. So and Da Costa will want him to be back up there. You know, for the outdoor, both Da Costa was going to win either way. Da Costa, KTM, and Red Bull were always going to come out with that championship smiling. It didn't really matter. Well, it did matter, but you know, out of the two of them, Dungeon Rock
as a team,
win,
it didn't matter.
No. And as it turns out, Roxen ran it for them, and then they left the team. So you could almost say, from KTM's point of view, it might have been better if Dungey had won, because actually he's staying with the team rather than saying, "Ta-ra, I'm off back to Suzuki," which is a fair enough decision. You know, you don't have to. You're not locked into to one manufacturer for a period of time.
So, talking about Roxen back to Suzuki, then, do you think he could do it in the first year?
Well, it's not the first year with Suzuki. I'm not so sure. I think he will come. He will be really keen to do it. And I just think there. It takes a long time to learn Supercross. I think the motocross is easier for him to do because that's what he's brought up. And the Supercross takes the time to learn. And don't forget, he's competing against people who've been doing it since they were in the junior ranks. You know, they've brought up doing that type of tracks, and it is a learned skill, which few European riders actually manage to learn to the highest level. He won at A1 last year and came in with good results. However, he tailed off and came away with third. It would be good if he do it. However, with a swap to another team as well, funny enough, we spoke to Jackie Martins early in the year about how long it takes a rider to get used to a team and a setup, and he's saying it's always the first year.
It seems quite comfortable team setup though, because you've got you see pictures of Kenny going riding with Kerry Hart in the mountains, which is great.
Yeah,
you know, there was a post, I think it was another media guy in the US said, or similar said, maybe this video shouldn't have been posted, or a video of Roxen when he was toppling down the hill.
Yeah.
I don't know if, did you see it?
Yeah.
And there was a big hoo-ha about it. And why he's enjoying himself? He's a,
yeah, I know. It's have fun. It's, yeah. it's a job, but you can also have fun at it. I just think it's one of those things. When an experienced manager says things like that, you think, yeah, actually, you're probably quite right. It does take a while just to get used to the setup, get it to the bike. He hasn't been riding that bike for that long. We all knew he was going to Suzuki far before it was announced, but he couldn't start riding that Suzuki publicly until later on in the season. And it's just a question of getting used to the bike. He might come in and completely smash it, and what we said is completely wrong. However, I just think, you know, when you speak to industry experts, who had the experience of team managers, that said it's not as easy as you think to swap teams and bikes, and it does take the time, then he'll do well. I just don't think he can get all the way to the end.
Okay, for the season then. So I go for Dungey.
Yeah, well,
for the one off for that one.
Oh,
for A1.
Yeah,
and you're going for Canard.
Canard. And I think Dungey is the man to plug out those results, be on the podium every week while the others vary up and down, and we get a win here and then we slip down to fourth. And that's the kind of way you can see the others going, of not keeping that consistency. Dungey can just do it.
I'm going for Millsaps.
Yeah, well,
for the season.
Second for, of course, he didn't ride in 2014, so we don't know how he's going to do. He signed for KTM, never rode the machine in competition. So, but yeah, last time he was there, he was second, and he had a really strong season, and it was only just towards the end that he tailed off. So yes, but again, we have the situation. He's on a new bike.
What about Dean? What do you think he'll get overall?
I think Dean might be able to crack into the top five. I think, again, because he's stepping up, and, you know, if he's swapping up to a Kawasaki, we proved at the Nations how well he did. But again, swapping teams, swapping brands to a KTM, the KTM is different. They're different ways of achieving the same thing. And again, it's that swapping team thing. So, to my mind, the guys that have got the strongest chances are the ones who are on that team already, haven't swapped teams, and keep going forward. So that puts Canard in the mix. That puts Tomac in the mix. It definitely puts Dungey in there as strong possibles, just because of that. You already know where you are. You know your team around you. You know your bike. You're ready to go.
Yeah, well, so going back to sort of Reed then, because as you said, people still saying that he's got a chance. What do you think he'll come overall for the season?
I think realistically, just how hard it is, and he's running a team and running another rider. I think maybe him and his team, Josh Grant, who's with him now. I don't know. I think he's probably just outside the top five. I think he's still good enough to get there. But however, there's so many that can be round about there. He may struggle to get into the 5 to 10. It's a long time since he won a championship.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big gap between he won the championship, and arguably you could say he won championships when Carmichael wasn't around to win them. You have to be in it to win it, so a win is a win. You know, you wouldn't say I'm not champion because Carmichael was. However, when he was at his peak, Carmichael was the guy, and you know, when Carmichael had problems, Reed won. So, not entirely sure when all the competition is there and the strong competition is there. Not so sure.
And it is strong this year.
Yeah, it's
if everyone's 100% come Saturday.
Yeah, and of course that is the thing, is because it is so. It is so prone to injury because you have to. It's such an exacting sport. Then there is a touch of attrition that the people, if you pick up the injuries by the end, we won't have those 5 to 10 people who are at the top. Then you know we'd be lucky if there's 5 good ones still in the mix because it's just so hard and they'll be going so strong. But you know they all want to win at A1. However, you can't win it. It's the old adage: you can't win it on the first round, but you can certainly lose it. So you don't want to be going all out to get that win because it is just one. Just one thing.
Somebody like Jason Anderson coming straight in on the Husky 450.
Interesting to see. It's not going to be that much different to what he was riding before, but you know, again, he's stepping up as a rookie, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's champion, isn't he?
West Coast. East Coast was Vogel.
He's
moved up and does well. He was inconsistent on the outdoor, though, didn't he? He seemed to fall off a lot. So I wouldn't say his outdoor really backed up the skills he had on the indoor. So, but maybe he's better on the indoor and will come in and surprise. Not so sure on that one.
He's been quiet as well.
If you're picking the guys who have a chance for a one-off win, he's certainly got the chance of a one-off. If you look at something, going back to 2009, Josh Grant got that win. Nobody would have predicted that win, and he just ran away with it. Yeah. But you know, he got that win because Stuart and Reed took each other out, and all of a sudden he's in third place, and he's got the win.
Thank you very much.
And it could be as easy as that. You know, you don't need to be at the front at the start of the race, because if the guys at the front are going so hard and take each other out, all of a sudden you've been gifted a win. And you say, I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Michael Essie Holshein.
He always does, doesn't he? Realistically, and then goes backwards from that point. Really,
yeah.
It would be like. When golfers have the longest drive competition, there was an equivalent for motocross, just hole shot, unless you win it every time. But you know, there's a guy who you know has so much potential and never really got to it. Maybe the wrong choice. Maybe the thing of being his dad there or in the background all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, if you think when he was teamed up with Reed with Suzuki that year that Reed won.
Yeah.
You know, he had the best bike. He had DaCosta running with him.
Yeah.
He had the chance to do it and just didn't get there. He's a guy that could have been champion. There's a lot of them there, but you know he had such potential.
Well, looking back, okay, then let's finish on the Stuart, obviously missing.
Yeah, it's a real shame. However, it's been handled. It's just I don't know how it then ended up this way. The whole thing of him not, if he was on the prescription drugs and didn't declare it, that seems a little bit of a daft thing to do when you know you have to do it and there is that looking at it. It's dragged on for absolutely ages with radio silence of what's actually happening from the team, from Stuart, from the FIM. The FIM have come up with a punishment which seems to go far beyond from the fact, you know, the fact he hasn't actually been riding for quite a period of time, and then they slapped him with a really long ban to go on top of that.
Well, 2 years is the normal.
Yeah, but you know, if you add it in, then you make that decision quicker. If you know when was the test for Thunder Valley or something like that?
April, wasn't it? Yeah.
So you're getting to December before there's an actual decision on that. There has to be a bit quicker way of getting it done. Because if you've done something that you shouldn't have done, then it's a ban. You want to get that ban served as quick as possible. There has to be a process which is done quicker. And certainly the AMA have written to the FIM to protest about the length of time it's taken and the way it's dragged on and the fact they didn't know about the ban. It came out almost on social media before it got to them.
They ought to be writing to
the controlling authority as AMA to say, look, this is what we've decided, and almost discuss it in private beforehand. So there can be the discussion.
Didn't seem to be any discussions between the parties.
No.
As far as we're aware.
No.
Because you had the head guy at AMA sending that letter.
Yeah.
And just a mess. You know, me being a sports fan and watching other sports and being involved with some other sports, when there's drug tests and somebody's guilty, you're known within pretty rapid, and that person's banned pretty quickly. Within weeks.
Oh, I mean, it happens. You know, people do get caught out with things. I remember something in the Winter Olympics. I don't know, probably longer than ago than I thought, but a British skier got banned because he'd used Vicks Sinex.
I remember that, yeah.
And it wasn't on the air. Now you just had a stuffy nose, give a couple of squirts outside. You get
probably need a bit of that myself, actually.
Well, yeah, you can have that. Well, you get banned. You won't be able to enter in the next big Grand Prix that you intended to. But you know, it can be that silly. You know, it's just something like that. Well, with Stuart, it appears that if it's a prescription drug, being prescribed for a long period of time. Come on!
I know you've got a massive team around.
Just tell somebody. Look, I know. Do they matter? I'm taking these, and somebody go. Well, I don't know.
Well, I did a little thing. I did a little post on Facebook over just before Christmas about how quick it would, if I took what he was taking or it was in my medication, how long would it take me to find out if it's on the list?
Yeah.
It took me less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. And you kind of know, realistically, if you're an elite sportsman and you're taking anything, you know, if it affects your livelihood... it's got to be worth a quick Google search. Hang on a second, I'm taking...
Your doctors are going to do it.
Ibuprofen. You tap an ibuprofen and just check whether
it's there. Your doctors, your trainers, and all the rest of it would know.
It's messy, and it's just...
It's a shame for the fans, because obviously he brings... I don't think it's going to affect attendance at all, to be honest.
No, because it's so big anyway. It's so much of a show. It's not a one-person show. It's a massive show. Yeah. But it's just a shame he's not there. He's such a good rider.
He brings excitement.
I think he's at the end of his career anyway. So a bit like Reed, there'll only be moments when he's really good, and then there are
Reed's
faster
one of
guys
these,
out
he'll,
there.
As we said, there'll be that one track. He'll come in and he dials it in.
Yeah,
and he's just amazing.
Oh yeah, and you know going back to the times when
what we're saying here, you got it's like the guys at Racer X they did there, but we could be absolutely, and I'm sure we're completely wrong about everything we're talking about.
It could be, but say guys like Reed and Stewart, when you go back, put it into YouTube, get some of those battles between Reed and Stewart when they were going hammer and tongs, knocking each other, they're just superb, and there isn't anything like that rivalry, and that was great at the time.
We need that edge. We want
guys like that in the sport who are so committed onto it, they'll bend the rules, they'll get a bit physical with each other.
It seems to me we're going in, as you said, we seem to move them away from that rivalry between like Stewart and Ricky and Chad and everyone else.
Yeah.
Everyone's too nicey-nicey.
Yeah.
Don't just battle it out, man. What's the matter?
Talking of which, it was that photo. There was a photo on the Ustream website or whatever of Cairoli and Villopoto shaking hands and going,
I get you.
I don't want to see that.
No,
I don't. I want to see. You I want said to see Cairoli with a dartboard with
Cairoli's face on it, and vice versa.
It's just, you know, we want to see real rivalry.
We want to see the bit. That's the whole point of PR. And promotion, you want to see it, so it's whether it's true or not.
Yeah,
you want it. You people want
to see a bit of trash talk.
The prime example is boxing.
Yeah, that's when a bit of trash talk. You want them to be head to head with each other, looking each other's eyes and saying,
something there that they could have done in that photograph, wherever it was face to face, nose to nose,
recreate a boxing photo. That sort of thing. The battle is on. We don't want to see them, you know,
shaking hands,
hanging out around the pool,
them.
And you know, the two girlfriends enjoying a cocktail after work.
We don't want to see that.
We want them to actually be so committed they can't even look at the guy because they are so determined to win him. Yeah. And it's going to be a bit of a bro fest. It's just like, hey, you are good. You win this week, I'll win next week. Oh, we'll take it right down to the wire.
We want a pure battle.
Yeah, we want it to be them knocking each other, knocking each other off, but you want bit of physical stuff.
Yeah, you want bar to bar stuff, don't you?
Yeah, a bit like, you know, that pass when DeSalle did on Tommy Searle one thing. You want a bit of that, don't you?
Yeah, you want that.
You want it to be going back and think that it matters
so much.
Hurling
Tommy
scenario,
that was fantastic.
Yeah.
All season.
Absolutely, that's what makes it. Niceness is kind of okay, but it doesn't make for an exciting thing. You want this championship to be people actually just sort of like want to do everything to make sure they come in front of the other person. So I'm not sure about the niceness. I think we need a few rogues out there. We need a few like Porcel or say. Just those other riders, Pichon with Everts. You know, they just didn't genuinely like each other. You know, and that's kind of good for racing because you know, you want to beat him. But
every sport's like that.
You want to beat him also because you don't like the guy.
You know, especially at top level, you know, they don't generally get on any sport high level athlete.
No,
with other high level, it just don't happen.
No,
and it's all too nicey at the moment.
Yeah. So guys, no more Mr. Nice Guy. We want a bit of like.
fans love it. It gets the sports move. It gets the sport moving.
Yeah.
Gets people talking, and it keeps us.
Yeah, as I said, look at those videos when those two guys were going for and any of those like classic duels that go out. I mean, things like, you know, Villopoto, when Villopoto launched his bike at, was that Alessi's head or? Oh,
that was Jason Lawrence.
Lawrence, yeah, that type of thing. Lawrence brought it in there. Lawrence hated everybody, didn't he? He'd actually launch his bike at people. He got into Dungey's head so much he threw away the championship. Yeah. God, bring, you know, every Jason Lawrence will never come back, but it's that kind of bad boy that we want in there. You just unpredictable and
he doesn't care about anything else. Yeah. Does his own thing away from the sport, comes in, wins races, and everyone hates him.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Yeah, gets in the camper and goes away. I'm not here to be liked.
Yeah, good stuff. You want some good stuff. Well, also this weekend we got the arena cross at Manchester.
I'm heading up to Manchester, heading north. I might need to take my snowshoes and snow chains because although it's beautifully sunny down in Bristol here, it's a little bit colder.
I think it might not get cancelled.
But you know, I'm going to have to go up the M5 there. I mean, there's bears and there's wolves all roaming free up there north of Birmingham, aren't they?
North, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll be going up there. It'd be good to see it, actually see some racing, because it's such a long period when you don't see any racing. The last one we saw was the Bercy Lille event. So it'd be good to go out and see it. The lineup there should be some good racing there. There's quite a lot of the French guys have come over.
They're going to be quick.
It'd be good to see how Clarkie gets on the new Husqvarna.
Seems to have lost a bit of weight.
Yeah, definitely. He's running his own team there. Yeah. Adam Chatfield, yet again, he's going to turn
Brunel.
Up. They're all going to go well. So, should be a good night's racing. Bit of FMX thrown in there. So then
Monster Girls.
I'll not be partaking of the Monster Girls. I don't think they'll be offering, to be honest. But I'll make the decision when are offered. When and if offered, let's say. That should be good. But unfortunately, a bit of a long trek back afterwards.
Yeah, I'll think of you when I'm sat watching everything on the internet.
Yeah, you should be watching the A1 in your pants in the living room, won't you, really?
Again. No, I got a busy weekend, to be fair, doing all that, so I'm not going. But and then what else have you got this weekend? Supercross, arena cross.
That'll do for me.
Dakar.
I just have to say, Ray just cannot pronounce Dakar. What is Dakar? Dakar rally? He's like all of a sudden gone quite Irish. My tea's going cold here.
Yeah, it's going cold.
Dakar rally. Yeah.
So we got that this weekend, which is 13 days of sheer hell.
Yeah, we need people to be cheering on the Pavey father and son
Sam
duo.
Sunderland.
Yeah, Sam Sunderland. Yeah. Llewellyn and Simon Pavey are competing as the first father and son team ever to compete in the race.
I would imagine there's lots of other Brits, but we haven't seen the start list yet.
No, we haven't seen the start list yet. Llewellyn does a bit of writing for us, so we'll claim him as one of our own, particularly if he does well. If he does badly, we'll... Yes.
He writes for other people as well. Don't write for us.
Should he be high up the leaderboard, because Moto's own Llewellyn Pavey and Simon Pavey, so really doing well. We're chatting to one of the guys actually on we went to the Yamaha launch, and one of the guys there, and they look at the telemetry of one of their bikes on from the Dakar Rally last year. Their bike had showed it had been running at full throttle for 56 minutes. Full throttle, 56 minutes of just actually over that terrain, just absolutely pinned, not shutting off all that time.
That's insane.
That's a hard race. Yeah. That's, you know, it makes a moto just go around in circles.
I got to say, there's a few things I would like to photograph, not just in our sport, but that is one event I want to go to and photograph. But
you wouldn't be able to keep up, though, would you? your little electric bike alongside, holding your Polaroid. Slow down, Mr. Sunderland. Slow down.
No, I think you get shipped in, and I think there's shortcuts that they do, don't they?
Even shorter cut for you. Short ass cut.
But yeah, so the beginning of 2015 is a really busy weekend.
Yeah, good stuff.
Come on the Brits, as they say. What do we go into then? It's just Supercross next for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's another arena crossover, goes into Belfast for two nights racing over there, and then we're sort of heading towards the start of the season. Hawkston really early in the Arctic cold that will be at the start of the season, and then there's the Italian Championships over in Sardinia, and then before we know it, we'll be at Qatar and Villopoto versus Cairoli. Brofest,
yeah. High-fiving each other on the start line. Please don't do that. Pushing and shoving is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So, apart from that, we've got to wish you all a happy new year and a safe weekend. And There'll be plenty more moto shows in 2015. We sort of died off in the this year, didn't we, really? Yeah,
best to leave the public hungry for it.
Hungry, yeah.
When are you coming back?
Yeah, there's a few little changes we had to make, and we just sort of like...
Well, it's just because you're too lazy to edit it. There are changes to make. You're just too lazy to edit it. This should be on video, but you're just doing bloody recording it.
Yeah, it's easy.
You're just such a lazy... Dakar.
Dakar. Rally Dakar. But yeah, so as I said, we'll be back in 2015. Obviously, keep your eyes open for the website this weekend. It's going to be stacked as normal.
Hopefully, we'll get a live link or something that might work for the week for the weekend.
Yeah. And we wish you a safe and a prosperous new year.
Can I drink my tea now?
You can have your tea.
Thanks.
In fact, you must be really cold. You've still got a full cup. Right, see you in 2015.
Cheers.